NPR.
So there's this thing that doctors do when they want to see how healthy a person's heart is. You've probably seen this in like a sports drink commercial or something like that. Allow me to demonstrate. So they start by putting you on a treadmill and hooking you up to a bunch of electrodes and heart monitors and start you off at a nice walking pace. The doctor checks your vital signs and then speeds things up a little bit. A few minutes later, does the same thing, checks your heart rate and speeds things up a little more. And this keeps going. Checks your heart rate, speeds it up, checks your heart rate, speeds things up, until it feels like your heart is working about as hard as it can. And this is what doctors call an exercise stress test. And the point of doing this is not purely sadistic. It's to put your heart in an unusual amount of stress, to see what it can take and how it responds. And the idea is by doing that, you can catch health problems before they become health emergencies. This is the Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma. And the rest of today's episode is not about exercise, thankfully. It's about the Federal Reserve's own version of a stress test. Something it makes big banks do every year to see how they would fare under an extraordinary amount of stress. This is something the Fed has been doing for over a decade, but this week, the Fed's head of bank regulation suggested it might be time for a major update. So today on the show, we'll explain how bank stress tests normally work, why they did not prevent a recent string of bank failures, and what the Fed is thinking as it looks to prevent something similar from happening in the future.
Support for NPR and the following message come from State Farm. As a State Farm agent and agency owner, Lakeisha Gaines understands the support small businesses need.
Every day, we get the privilege of helping people to recover from the unexpected, realize their dreams. For small business owners, we help them to think about all the things that are necessary so that they can continue to run their businesses successfully without interruption.
Talk to your local agent about small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Fisher Investments. SVP Judy Abrams shares how their fiduciary duty comes to life while helping clients plan for retirement.
As a fiduciary, we must make decisions in our clients' best interest. So we work with them in consultation to be on a glide path so when they want the option to retire, that portfolio is still going to keep working for them at this stage of life.
Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
It is really hard to understand stress tests without doing a little bit of time travel. So let's go back to 2008. It's the financial crisis, and the banks found themselves in what economists call deep financial doo-doo. They gambled big time by loading their balance sheets with billions of dollars in subprime mortgages. When the housing bubble burst, those subprime mortgages became toxic assets. And the banks said to the federal government, listen, if you don't bail us out, you're going to have a crisis on your hands. People's life savings are going to evaporate. Credit will freeze. People will lose their jobs and their homes. And the Federal Reserve, one of the country's main bank regulators, was like, I think they're right. So Congress passed a $700 billion package to keep troubled banks afloat and prevent foreclosures. And this whole twisted saga was on the mind of congressional lawmakers a couple of years later when they passed something called the Dodd-Frank Act. The idea of the Dodd-Frank Act was to prevent this situation from happening again, where a financially troubled bank could drag the rest of the economy down with it. And nestled among the many new rules in this 849-page law was a new requirement that large and mid-sized banks would undergo regular stress testing. So what exactly is stress testing? To break it down, we called up Danielle Zanzalari.
I am an assistant professor of economics at Seton Hall University and an adjunct professor at Boston College University, where I teach a stress testing course.
She used to work on stress testing at the Federal Reserve's Boston branch, and she says there are two basic components to stress tests that the Fed and the banks go through every year. Part one you can think of as the treadmill test. Fed economists devise a series of hypothetical scenarios involving various economic calamities, like unemployment soaring to 10% and the stock market tanking and real estate prices getting cut in half and a whole lot more.
So you have kind of all these wonky things going on. Extreme stress. It's like putting you on a treadmill, go run a 6-minute pace, which is really fast if you're not a runner, really, really fast. So it's like, hey, do this and see how you do.
By the way, like juggle these meat cleavers while you're at it.
Exactly. And good luck.
Okay. So it's maybe not that stressful, but basically the Fed gets data from the banks, crunches the numbers to see under these various economic scenarios, how much money would the bank lose? Would they stop lending? Would they even survive? So that is part one, the sort of put you on a treadmill, see what you can handle part of the stress test. Part two is more like the take-home test. That's where the Fed and the banks both do an analysis of the bank's capital situations.
So capital being money, kind of like money that they could easily access in a crisis, sort of like you have a savings account for a rainy day.
Of course, banks may want to do other stuff with this money, this capital, than just sit on it for a rainy day. They might prefer to invest it in the markets, or loan it out to customers, or pay it out as shareholder dividends. Stuff that makes banks money and makes shareholders happy. But the point of stress tests is to make sure banks have enough capital just sitting there in case of emergencies. And this is basically how stress tests have worked for the past decade. Every year, about 20 to 30 of the country's largest banks went under the microscope. And early on, it was not uncommon for banks to fail.
It's like saying you go on a treadmill, doctor's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're playing volleyball and soccer and all these things. Your heart can't take that. You need to slow down and stop eating Chick-fil-A every day, right? Stuff like that. Stuff like you would be happy doing all these things, but their doctor says you got to cut back. That's the same way that the Fed reacts during these stress tests, that if a bank looks like they cannot handle the stress, so if they look like their revenues are falling, their expenses are too high, even under these juggling scenarios, they have to hold more capital back.
In other words, they have to expand their emergency cash cushion. When banks fail stress tests, the Fed can prescribe changes to the way they manage money. They can, for instance, say, stop cutting so many checks to shareholders and just save that money. And over the years, banks seem to be doing a better job at saving that money, at expanding their safety cushions. A couple of weeks ago, results for this year's stress test came out, and all 23 banks that were subject to the test passed. But I know at this point, some of you are saying, yeah, okay, but what about the elephant in the room? What about the three elephants in the room? Those banks that went under a few months ago? Silicon Valley Bank, Signature, and First Republic? Stress tests did not keep those banks from crashing. Well, it's a good question, and the answer is a bit complicated, but essentially, Signature and First Republic were regulated by a different agency, not the Fed. And Silicon Valley Bank, it had very recently grown to a size where it would have been subject to a stress test next year, but of course, it imploded before then. Now, even if SVB had been stress tested, Danielle says it's not clear that would have prevented a meltdown because stress tests have a couple of fundamental weaknesses. For one thing, economic predictions about the future are very hard to do. And by the time those predictions actually get put into the hypothetical stress test scenarios, reality may look very different. Danielle says economists spent months developing the scenarios for this year's stress tests. But
that was before the Silicon Valley Bank crisis and everything that happened there. And so there's so much that has to go into it for months and months before, and you're having economists trying to predict what's going to happen. The scenario wasn't stressing the same thing that we actually saw being stressed in the banking sector in March and April.
Namely, that rising interest rates would contribute to a series of unexpected bank runs that brought those banks down. Now, a couple days ago, the head of bank regulation at the Fed, Michael Barr, acknowledged that the Fed could be doing more to prevent the kinds of failures that we saw happen this year. And actually, earlier this week, he promised to improve the speed and enforcement of the Fed's supervision. He proposed new rules that would require big banks and even mid-sized banks, like the kind that went under, to shore up their finances even more. And he said going forward, regulators will be more skeptical in how they evaluate how crisis-ready these banks are. In short, the Fed's stress test regime might be about to get a little more stressful. This episode is produced by Brittany Cronin with engineering by Catherine Silva. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Beatle is our senior producer. Cake and Cannon is our editor. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.